Okay, today's daf is Arla daf Tezvav, and we are up to the last daf here in the first parak. Three prakim here in Maseches Arla, and this is the last daf of the first parak. So we're up to Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We just had a question about if somebody has a usable, right? You can't eat it, you can't redeem it, Ravai, so should it be buried or not? So we mentioned that Rav Zvida said to bury it, because it's if you have something that's boser, that's very small, and early in the ripening stage, it might have Kedusha's Arla, but it's not redeemable. Pri-atapode, ve-enatapode, lo boser v'lo pagim. That's what he quoted. If you look, in fact, in the Rambam, in Hilchas Meiser Sheni, in Perek Tes, that's where the Rambam talks about Pidyon Meiser Sheni. The Rambam says there, Harotze Liftos, right, Netavai, first of all, he says Netavai is like Kodesh, it's like Meiser Sheni, Hariyu Kodesh, Shenemer, Vashana Revias, Yakol Piryo Kodesh, Hilulam Hashem, Vidino Lehe Achel, Leba'alav Yerushalayim, and the din is to eat it all in Yerushalayim, Kemeiser Sheni, and then the Rambam says, Harotze Liftos, Netaravai, Podek Meiser Sheni. If you want to be poder ravai, you could redeem it like Meiser Sheni, you could redeem. Vim padeo la'atzmo mosav chomesh, and if they add on 25%, if you do it yourself, vein poden oso ashiagil onas meisris. You cannot redeem it unless it gets to the certain stage, grown a third. Onas ha'maisos, shenemar, lohosif lachem tivuaso. Ad sheye ase tivua. So that's the Rambam's lashon of having to redeem it only when it has to reach onus maestros. The Kesef Mishnah points out this is a sifra. In Parshas Kedoshim, vein poden oso bimechubar, you can't redeem it bimechubar, like Maestro Sheni you can. Vare yomama gavoa kemaestro lafichach, eino nikne bimatana, ele im nasnu bosar. Right, it can be nikne bimatana, unless it's bosar, that's early. Vedino bishar dvarim, le'inyan achila, vishtiyo p'tia kemaestro. So that's what they're here too. It says here that you can't redeem it lo bosar v'lo pakim, because bosar is too early. It doesn't have the kedusha yet, even though it's already called a pri. So it might have, you might not be able to eat it outside, even though you can't redeem it. That was Rav Zvida, and Rav Yonah said, what do you mean? But the evidence will work if you redeemed it. So if the evidence works, you shouldn't have to bury it. That was his issue. But kvura, the idea of kvura is for a number of reasons. The items I mentioned at the end of the Mishnah, at the end of Temura, most of the time what we bury is so that it doesn't lead to michshol. It doesn't lead to stumbling. Because if you have things that are usser, that are around our house, then we might come to eat it. And michshols. That's why generally there are nikbarin. There are those that have to be buried so that it doesn't come to, you don't come to use it. Nisrafin is a little more demonstrative, right? Just to get rid of something that you don't stumble over it, it shouldn't have to be burned. The fact that something has to be burned, that would connote something more intense, like chametz on Pesach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa, because that requires a demonstrative act. Truma temeya, there's a mitzvah to burn, right? Arla and kelei akerem, so that's where the Mishnah lists them also with the items that have to be burned, which is interesting. We mentioned that in the Hakdama of the Shir, of the Shirim on this Pesachta. We know people also have to be buried, right? That's a mitzvah too. Right, the pasuk in ki kavritik brena bayomahu, the pasuk says in kiseitse, but that's for a different reason. Either because that's part of just chesed, but there is a thought that Rav Soloveitchik related, and he related the idea of burial to the brisa in Megillah Daf Chavav, where the brisa says that there's a difference between tashmishe mitzvah and tashmishe kedusha. Tashmishe mitzvah means an item that was used for a mitzvah, and then after you use it for a mitzvah, it no longer has sanctity. A lulav, tzitzis, sukkah, right? All a shofar. All of those, once I don't use it anymore, I can just throw it out. Maker a din. I shouldn't discard it with the chicken bones, but put it in a bag and throw it out. Those are tashmishe mitzvah, right? Those are nizrakin. But tashmishe kedusha, items that are in that category, which are, and this is how the Achronim formulated, anything connected to the Ksav of Torah. Besides Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, a mezuzah box, a Sefer Torah, maybe a mantle, a bag that you keep tefillin in, all of those are connected to the Ksav of Torah directly, and those have to be buried. Why? Because just like the Shem Hashem has to be treated with Kedusha, anything that services the Shem of Hashem has to be treated with Kedusha. Said Rav Soloveitchik, that's the root of Kvura of every Jew. Because every Jew is connected to Torah, and just like if you have a mezuzah box, you have to bury it, so every Jew is a box for Torah. And therefore, the Chiyuv of Kvura. Rav Shechter quotes this in Eretz HaTzvi on page Sadi. I think this whole piece is from Rav Soloveitchik. Mashenkin gufa Yisraeli dino ketashmisha kedusha lachein afilu achar moso asher oz ein gufo ro'i od lasos bo mitzvos mikom akom dino lehe ganes v'zeo yisoda lemitzvos kvura b'meis Yisrael. Aye, what if a Jew never learned any Torah in his life? Right, he learned in utero. He learned in utero. So if you learned in utero, every Jew has that pintel yid that is created, and we're caused to forget it because we have to earn it. But that's the root of the idea of kfura of a Jew. For Goyim, it could just be based on kavod habrias. But by a Jew, it has the added element of tashmishe kedusha. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rabbi Yeshua Shamati. So the Gemara says now on Yudalim Abayz, talking about the Mishnah that we had, the Mishnah said, that in the name of Yehuda, that there's different types of saps, different type of sraf. Shamati beferish. Rabbi Yehuda says, I heard that if you make cheese with the sap of the leaves or the roots of an arla tree, that's mutter, because that's not called fruit. But the sap of pagim, right, the sap of unripe fruit, right, of young unripe figs, that's going to be usser, because it is fruit. It is fruit. We'll see what the it is. That's a little bit later. But first the Gemara says, so what do you see from the first half, though? Sap of leaves and roots is not called fruit. It's not called fruit. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Pedas says, Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yeshua shnei mamar davar echad. So Rabbi Pedas says that our Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah and the Rabbi Shimon in a Mishnah in Shvius are based on the same yesod. The same yesod that tree sap is not a fruit. Our Mishnah says it because what does he say? The sap is not arla, right? The sap, if you use the sap of an arla tree, the sap of the leaves or the roots, so then that does not aser the cheese. So you see sap is not meaningful. So that sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, says Rabbi Pedas, connects to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon in Shvius. Tamatanina, there in Shvius we learned, there's a Tanakama Shita that the Gemara does not quote. Tanakama argued, but Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein l'ktaf Shvius. Ketaf is balsam. Balsam is the liquid that comes out of a balsam tree. So Rabbi Shimon says, there's no Shemitah Kedusha there. Mipnei she'eino pri. Right, it's also not a pri. It's not called pri. This liquid that comes out of the tree. So Rabbi Pedas says, beautiful, simple. Rabbi Shimon in Shvius, Rabbi Yeshua in Arla, is based on the same yesod, that the sap is not called a pri, and therefore by Shvius it doesn't have Kedusha, and by Arla it's not Aser. And the Gemara says, I'm sorry, but that's a little difficult. Amar Reb Zira L'Rabbi Pedas, Reb Zira argues. He says to Reb Pedas, no, wait a minute. And we got to flip around some girsos here. So the next line, we're just going to flip the two phrases. Kima de Tamar, one second. Just like you say, Hacha, Halacha Rabbi Yeshua. If you say here the Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, in our case, Tamon Halacha Rabbi Shimon. Over there, could you say the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? What do you mean? Because, as the Mefarshim explain, and the Gra has this girsa, over there there's the Tanakama who argues on Rabbi Shimon. And Lachorah, the Tanakama is Stam, it's anonymous. So Lachorah, we should paskin like that Tanakama. So if we paskin like that Tanakama, how could you say? If you say that Halacha here is like Rabbi Yeshua, then there it should be like Rabbi Shimon. We know it's not like Rabbi Shimon there. Meaning it must be that even if you paskin like Rabbi Yeshua here, maybe you won't go like Rabbi Shimon there. So what? There's a difference between the cases? So what's the difference between the cases? Right, it seems pretty similar. You got sap over here in our Mishnah, and you have the sap, the resin over there. You have liquid from the trees. What's the difference? How could you be mechalik between the two? So the Gemara has three chilukim between our Mishnah in Arla and the Mishnah in Shvius. Amar Reb Yonah. Reb Yonah says, "V'dam yehi l'chol revia." Is it so similar? Very unclear. What does that word l'chol revia mean? L'chol revia. So some say a revia is a growth, like pru revu. Right, revu means to grow, pru revu. So some say, is this similar? Are all growths similar? Right, all things that come out of the trees are similar. So, okay, that's what it means. Also, rovim sometimes means young ones. So one of the mefarshim in the back, the Kikar La'adan, says, is it similar? L'cha revia, that's a childish comparison. Right, he's arguing in a kind of a little condescending, it sounds like. L'cho revia, it sounds like, is that similar? That's similar. Others say that this is a, it's, it should be one word, the girsa of the Rash, the Rasilio, as a different girsa. He says, kalarva, right, which is connected to the word kalarva, a boat. It's like the mast of a boat that from behind you like steer the ship. From the back, you turn it, so it's like backwards. You're steering it from the back, but the forward is affected. So it's like kind of like, that's a backwards comparison. Okay, either way, Rav Yonah is saying, don't compare. Why? What's the difference? So number one, kataf batel al yedei sarfo. Over there by the Shemitah, it's this resin, this liquid that's coming out. Over there, there's real, it's batel al yedei sarfo. Okay, maybe the Tanakam is right. Why? Because all that comes out of that tree is the resin. Right? All that comes out of that tree is the balsam, the resin of the balsam. It's a balsam tree. This is the ikker product of that tree. If this is the ikker product of that tree, so that's why maybe the Tanakam is right over there, that it is significant. Unlike here, we're going to add in a line here that we don't have. Elon ain't about al gabi sarfo. But in our Mishnah, no, the sap is a byproduct. It's not the ikar of these trees, fig trees or date trees. So that's why Reb Yeshua would say in our Mishnah that it's not significant if the sap that comes out of the leaves and the roots. Because there's another product. So you're right, if the sap is the ikar product of the tree, I don't know, like a maple syrup, right, something like that, if there's nothing else, then maybe that's going to be chashuv, like a pri. Because that's the ultimate product of the tree. But that's chilek number one between the Mishnah and Shvias, the Mishnah and Arlo. We're talking about different types of trees, right? Where the sap is the ikar and the sap is batel and it's secondary. Number two, a second difference between the two. Not the difference between the trees, but what are the different mesechtas, right? Shvias and Arla. That's different. Ochle behema kedusha shvias chal aleihem. We know Shemitah is more inclusive than Arla. Right, any food, even animal food, gets kedusha shvius. So that's why over there, maybe we could pass them like that Tanakama there, that the sap, the resin of the balsam, you know, that's going to have kedusha. But here, ain kedusha zarla chalaleim. Here, it's much more limited. Here, arla is only by fruit, right? Valratem arla so es perio. So don't compare the two cases. So again, first chilek between what our day started off today with Rabbi Pedas. Rabbi Pedas wanted to say Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah Shvias are based on the same Yesod. And the Gemara is saying, not true. You don't have to say they're the same Yesod. We could paskin like the Tanakama over there against Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua over here. How so? Number one, different types of trees, right? Is the ikker the sap or the ikker not the sap? Number two, Truma versus Shvias. Shvius is always more inclusive. So to say the sap is included by Shvius, fine. I can understand that. Arla is much more limited. Arla is based on just fruit, and therefore that would be a second difference. Number three would be based on the Lashon. Rebbe Bun is l'chachori. There's another element. Rebbe Yeshua Amar Shmua. Rebbe Shimon b'shem Garme Amra. Rebbe Yeshua, what we made a fuss about this yesterday. Shamati b'feirish. He quotes this Misora. We compared that to the Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Nevi'im. But over, our Rabbi Shua says it was a Shmua. He heard it. This is a Mesora. And Rabbi Shimon just said his own Shita. Right? If Rabbi Shimon had the Mesora from Rabbi Yeshua, he would have said that. Right? Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky here says, Rabbi Shimon ayadar achar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Shimon was the next generation. He was the dar after. So if Rabbi Shimon, if it was the same Yesod, then it wouldn't be, it's presented as two different things. One, Rabbi Shua says this is Mesora. Rabbi Shimon is saying his own Shita. But if it was Misora, it was the same Shita, Rabbi Shimon would also say Shamati. And he didn't say that, so it must be two different things. Fine. So now we get to the second half of Rabbi Yeshua's sentence, right? Often in the Yerushalmi, unlike the Bavli always quotes the part of the Mishnah that is commenting on. Often in the Yerushalmi, it'll just start talking. And you need the Mefarshim on the around to tell you this is going on the next part of the Mishnah. So what the next part of the Mishnah say the second half? Rabbi Yeshua says, the sap from roots and leaves are nothing. But the sap of pagim, the sap of unripe figs, that's usher. Mipnei shehu pri. So what is that phrase talking about? The sap of the unripe figs are usher because it is fruit. Is the it is fruit going on the sap or going on the unripe figs? That's not so clear. Right? Lama, what is that going on? Why is that usser? Why is the sap usser that comes from the unripe figs? Sraf pri? Is it because of the sraf itself? The sap is considered the fruit? Pagin pri? Or is it that the sraf, no, the sap comes from the unripe fruit, and that's called the pri? And the Mishnah is just saying, because it came from a pri, it's usser. So what is that phrase going on, mipnei shehu pri? And the Gemara says there's a nafkamina. What difference does it make? In Tamar, Sraf Pri, if you say the sap itself is pri, right? The sap of Arla, right? The sap of this little unripe fig. The sap that comes out of it is considered pri. So then, Asa Kein Betruma, Usser. We'll flip it to Gersa. Right? So then, if you would do the, let's say you would have a parallel. You would have an unripe Truma fig. And the sap comes out of that, right? If you would use that to make cheese, it would be usser. If that's called pri, because then the sap itself is truma, you're not allowed to get hana from truma. I'm jumping the gun. Asa kein betruma usser, right? If you did that with truma, it would be usser because it would be considered as if you are, right, a Yisrael. Yisrael is even eating truma because it's the sap which is pre-truma itself being used to make the cheese. But itamar pagin pri, but if you say, no, it's the fruit that's called pri, but the sap that comes out of it is not called pri, then also game truma mutter. Then what you're using to make cheese is not called truma, and therefore it would be mutter for Yisrael. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, but lama, so why is it also for Arla then? If you say, right, let's say if the mepeshu pri is going on the fruit, so not the sap, but the Mishnah still says the sap is usser. Right, the sap of Arla is usser. The Gemara says, because there's a difference between Arla and Truma. Shahanoyas Truma muteris. Fahanoyas Arla asura. No, Truma is not usser bahana. Right, a Jew is allowed to sell Truma. Right, let's say a Jew's maternal grandfather was a Kohen. So he got Truma and he died and he yarshined it and now the Yisrael gets it. He could sell it. You could have Hana from Truma. He's not going to have Hana from Truma. You can't have Hana from Arla. Arla is usser bahana. So here, even if the fruit is a pri, and even if the sap is not called a pri, you can't use that yet. That's still being considered nana from Arla, and that's why it's usser for Arla and not usser for Truma. Fine. Next part of the Mishnah, we have this funny, unusual word. An kuklos, v'hachart sanim. And all these items were all usser for a nazir, right? An kuklos, and Chartzanim and Zagim and Temed, all of those are going to be Usser for Arla, Asherah, Nazir, Amutter Beravai. So what are these on Kuklos? Rebbe Zeira v'chad min Rabbanan b'shem Rav, anavim shelaku ad shelo iviu shlish. They are grapes that were not even grown a third. I mean, what they didn't have a vashlish yet, didn't have their shame pre yet, and they were damaged. Shalaku. They were grapes that were damaged, and they didn't grow a third yet. So the fact that that they were damaged, right? So that they were usser. It was usser mishum arla when they would start growing a little bit, right? And now it continues. It's still usser. Interesting. The Mishnah said that it's not ravai, right? There's no ravai by these ankuklos. Why? Because like meiser sheni, right? It doesn't have. It's not neachelis. It has to be ne'echal properly in order to have Kedushas Ravai. We said that, I think, yesterday or the day before. So you could have cases that's not Ravai, I think yesterday, yeah, not Ravai, but yes, Arla. Right, and that's this case is these on Kuklos, right, this is on the list of items that Asurim ba'Arla u'mutarim ba'Ravai. That's what the Mishnah said. Amar Rav Yossi Barbuon, afilu laku bishaviu shlish. He thinks this is even if it was damaged after it was havashlish, meaning it was really considered a fruit already, even that it would still be putter from ravai because it was damaged. The word ankuklos stands for invin delucky taltehon, right? Grapes that were damaged around its third, before it grew a third, right after it grew a third, that is the notrikon. Fine. Rabbi Yossi Omer, next line of the Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yossi say on yesterday's daf? Rabbi Yossi said that if I take a branch of an arla tree, that doesn't have kedusha, so I could plant it. I could plant a branch of an arla tree. But what about a nut of an arla tree? A nut is a fruit, Right? Make a bird for eitz, and all nuts are ha'eitz except for peanuts. Right? That's the brachas rule. So Rabbi Yossi says you could plant a branch of arla that doesn't have kedusha, but you shouldn't plant a nut of arla mipnei shehu pri. Right? That's what the Mishnah said. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what if you did? What if I took a nut of arla, which is asur bahana? I'm not allowed to eat that. And I plant it to make a new nut tree. What if I did it? Avar venata mutter. It's mutter. Whatever grows is mutter. Why is it mutter? Mefarshim on the page talk about it. Either the Ras Yilyo says what's called zevizegorim, as a huge topic. If you have two sources of nourishment, a mutter source and an asur source, zevizegorim, mutter, the mutter source wins out. That's one reason why you might say avar venata mutter. Or if Chaim Knievsky, based on the next, says, no, because often when you put a seed in the ground or a nut in the ground, first, before it causes growth, first it totally disintegrates. And it totally, it's self-pulverizing. And then it's totally destroyed. So that's why. As if there's no arla. It totally disintegrates. And then it grows. So that's why. Because nifsada egos, that's why it's going to be mutter. So Rabbi Yochanan says, arvanata mutter. So if I took this nut and I planted it in the ground, it's going to be mutter, whatever grows. Ava vehirkiv aser. But what if I took an arla branch with arla fruit on it, and I grafted it vehirkiv? So that's going to remain aser. That doesn't get destroyed, right? Nothing happens to it, right? And therefore, that's the what the last line of the Mishnah said. Even if it's very unripe, the kafnios, the Mishnah said, still that's going to be aser. Says the Gemara now, new brisa, egos shall arla shenato. As we just said, you have a nut of arla, that's aser bana, but you planted it. V'chein beitzas avodah zara shenasas efroach. You have an avodah zara egg that then became a chick. So in both these cases, the humming was aser bana, and then it took a new form. Right, a nut of arla I put in the ground, and now I have a new tree. So is that new tree like related to the arla, the iser, the chick? That comes from an egg, right? That was Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Asur Bahana'a. So the chick from the egg, in both of those cases, we're going to have a parallel machlokas, right? We know there's an Isser D'Oraisa to get benefit from anything related to Avodah Zarah, right? The Chinuch counsels in Mitzvah Tav Chav Tes, 429. Shalo nadbik shum davar me'Avodah Zarah im mamonenu u'bershusina lehenospa. V'alzen emar, v'lo savi so eva el beisecha, v'lo yidvach b'yadcha me'uma menacher. It's all those psukim. Can't get any benefit from Avodah Zarah, Tikrovis Avodah Zarah, Noy Avodah Zarah, many different aspects of Avodah Zarah. So here, says the Brisa, if you have the nut of Arlo that you planted, or you have the egg of Avodah Zarah that became a chick, Rebbe Chagai B'Shem Rebbe Yoshia, is Palgun Chizki V'Kahana. Chizki and Kahana have a machlokas about this. Kahana Amar Muteres, Kahana says Muteres. Why? Why does Kahana say Muteres? Mefarshim explained, well, just like we said, how does a nut grow? It totally disintegrates. And then it grows the new tree. So therefore, you shouldn't do it because you're still using arla. But if you did it, it's going to be mutter whatever grows. So the same thing with the egg. The egg we assume totally is destroyed inside before anything the chick grows. And therefore, that's the parallel between the two. That's why Kahana says mutter. Chizki amar asura. Because he said, no, I don't have that svara of heter. I think it is usser. Maybe he holds Zev Zegorim as usser. The Marafolda says, fine. That's the Gemara. I'll die to the Chizkiya. The Gemara says, 1 second. What are we talking about here? And Chizkiya holds, if you have an egg of Avodah Zarah that becomes a chick, it's going to be usser. The Gemara's just bothered. How do you get an egg of Avodah Zarah? How do you get that? Because, Heich Efshar, Lebeit says Avodah Zarah, Shana says Efroach. How do you ever have such a case? Right, just assumption of the question. We mentioned a couple of days ago, I think, anything ground or mountain can't be Nasar by Avodah Zarah. Something Mechubar cannot be Nasar. But their Chizkiya holds elsewhere, right, the Mefarshim on the page quoted. Chizkiya also is not only is anything connected to the ground not Nasar from Avodah Zarah, but even if it's not connected to the ground, if it's something that there was never human input in, what's called Ein Tfisas Yad Adam. There was no human hands on this item that also, it's not physically connected to the ground, but you can't aser it. You can't aser it. Mishum Avodah Zarah. Ein Adam Oser Davar She'ein Bo Tfisas Yad Ha'adam. So what's the case here of the egg? Ma'an and Kayomin, right? What's the case? How do you get the egg to become Avodah Zarah? In Bishepachasa, did you smash the egg to the idol? Like that was your Avodah? Then ain't kind of froach. You're not getting a chick out of a smashed egg, right? So if you did an avoda with it like that, then obviously there's no chick. And if you just did b'shechnisa l'pnima min ha-kankalin, if you just brought it into the avodah zarah room, you brought it into the avodah zarah room, so it's still whole, and you did that. But then is that going to aser? Asachami, let's see for a second. V'ilu ishtachav el olo asra. If you bowed down to an egg, you wouldn't aser it. Why? Because there's no tefisas yad adam. You didn't do anything to the egg. The egg came memela. So the Gemara says, wouldn't it be a kavachomer? If you mamish worship this egg, it's not going to become aser. If you brought it into the room with an idol, right? So what's the case where there's an egg of Avodah Zarah? If you bow down to an egg, it doesn't become nasar because there's no tefisas yad adam. And if you crushed it, you're not going to get a chick from it. So what's the case here? What's the case here? There was a fence around an Avodah Zarah, and it had a hole in one of the walls. So you stuck the egg into the hole. So does that change the status? So that's the case where Chizkiah would say, you've changed it from egg to wall. You've changed its status now. So that's called Tfisas Yad Adam. That's called an effect of a person. Therefore, it's no longer off limits. So that's why it becomes usher. And Kahana would argue. Kahana would say, no, that's mutter. That's not a change. You just put it in the hole. That wouldn't be a change. Interesting. There is a machlokas. The Rambam talks about this in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. There are parallels between Avodah Zarah and Avoda. The Gemara talks about what are you chayiv misa for? Avodos. There are four avodos that we do for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shechita, Zrika. Right. There's a few avodos. So those four are usher if we do any of those four to any Avodah Zarah. Plus the avoda of every specific avodah zarah, right? Markolis, if you throw rocks at, then or if you go to the bathroom in front of, right? So all of those, that's what's us. So there's a question: what about if you bring something to a base avodah zarah that is not brought in our avoda to Hashem? So machlokas rishonim whether that's going to be ne'esar. The Rambam says yes, and the other rishonim say no. This Gemara sounds like the Rambam. Because eggs are not used in avoda when we serve Hashem, and yet it's nesar here. So that sounds like the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in the seventh parak, has a line like that, where he says, "Kol hanimsa bebeis avodah zarah, afilu mayim v'melach aser banam in haTorah, v'ochel mimenu kol shehu loke." So it sounds like the Rambam. Okay, let's continue. Beitzas, once we're talking about egg of Avodah Zarah, what about this case? Beitzas, hektish, anasis, efruach. What if you have a hektish egg? So that you can have. Because Avodah Zarah, that's off limits if I didn't do anything to the egg. But I could be makdish anything I want. I could be makdish an animal, an alive animal. Right? You can't, so hektish, anasis, efruach. Amar Rabbi Yosef, plige ba, kind of Rabbi Yochanan. What's the halacha of that egg that came out of the hektish egg? Kana Amar Asura, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Muteres, Machlokas. Amar Zira, Rabbi Yasa, Hada Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ha Rabbi Yochanan Amar Muteres. When Rabbi Yochanan says it's mutter, meaning the chick that came out of the hektish egg is mutter, it doesn't mean it's automatically mutter and you could go and make it into eggs for breakfast. Right? Of who? Po deosa. It just means, you have to redeem it. It just means after you redeem it, it becomes mutter. Bizman Zara. What is that adding? That's an extra phrase. That means, how much does it have to be redeemed for? Just like, if they add all this in, just like if I have a seed of hektish and I planted it in the ground, gidule hektish, things that grow are not really hektish. But midrabanan, you have to redeem them, the value of what the seed was when you planted it. So here too, the value of what the egg was. Right? Ofo podosa bismanzara. Right? You redeem it based on the original value of when you planted, because the whole redeeming is drabanan, because really gidule hektish are mutter, they're not kadosh. Midrabanan, you shouldn't like something that looks like, you know, it smacks with of hektish, therefore it shouldn't be a hektish yotze below klum. Therefore you have to redeem it, but you redeem it based on the earlier factor. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's mutter, it really means to redeem it? Isn't that exactly what Kahana holds? Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Elazar, Bishim Kahana, Podos of Isman Zara. So, in the name of Kahana, meaning Kahana also holds that you redeem it with Isman Zara. So what's the machlokas between the Kahana and Rabbi Yochanan? They both hold the egg is Asr until you redeem it based on the original value. So answer, take out the vav, Rabbi Chananya b'shem Rabbi Pinchas misakanta. He fixed the brisa. He fixed. This is what it should, how it should read. Kahana amar asura podosa kamoshehi. Kahana says you have to redeem it, but you redeem it based on the present value. The present value of the chick. Rabbi Yochanan amar muteres upodosa bezbanzara. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Just like a seed. Just like a seed, you redeem it based on the earlier... When you plant something with hectare seeds, you have to redeem it based on the earlier seed value. So to Rabbi Yochanan says, you redeem it here based on the egg value. But Kahana said otherwise. The Kahana said no. He says, there's a difference between a seed and an egg. The Rosh Silvio here discusses the difference, right? And a chitim are the wheat, are covered in dirt. And you say, when it grows, panam chadash is balakan. But the chick came from the egg, right? It's not so different, right? The higufa. So therefore, we're not as mekel, and therefore you have to go by the value as of now. Hadron alach anot el isyag. This takes us through the first perek of Meseches Arla.